Dr. Melissa Hood with Ezekiel's Wheel and the 15-Minute Rev. I hope you guys are having a great Monday. Golly, it's kind of it's a clear day here, but it's just kind of cold and people, I don't know, it's kind of like one of those just boring Mondays, but not really. I've got some really, really cool things to talk to you about, actually, for where we're at right now. I'm going to fade this out. But I'm trying to see if my Facebook is going to be getting up and running here. I'm not really sure if this is working. I guess we'll find out. Yeah, it is working. Cool. So I'm going to jump into the message, but I was talking to the Lord and actually doing my quiet time last night and today, actually. And it's interesting because of the peculiar place that we're in. I'm sensing that we're in a place between a changing of the seasons, believe it or not, right now, which would make sense because it's not really the end of winter yet, but seemingly so as God moves the faithful out of the old and into the new. And I was actually having a conversation last night with a good friend and challenging them with the option of doing something they've never done before. In order to have something new, hey, good afternoon. Hey, Karen. And in order to have something new in your life, you've got to be willing to try something new. And the problem I think that we all deal with in our life is as we get older, we like things to stay the same. And if you're going to have the new things in your life, you've got to be willing to try something new, which means you're going to have to do something different. You're going to have to break out of your doldrums and break out of the stagnancy that routine creates and being willing to try something new. Try something new that God is giving you to do so that you can step into the higher levels of blessing that you've been desiring. I hear so many people, I've heard it for years, where people say they want the blessings, they want what God has, but they aren't willing to try something new. And without that, you can't expect good things to happen if you're just wanting to stay where it's familiar and where it's convenient or where you've always, in a place you've always known. So today's 15-Minute Rev actually is talking about demonic obstacles being removed, prophetic answers, and huge faith are being locked into fear of change. And it really, really ties in with the 2022 word that the Lord had shown me, where God was saying that the obedient are going to be extremely blessed in 2022, but the disobedient, it's going to be a tough, tough year for you. If you've gotten stuck in the past, stuck in stagnancy, it's going to be tough on you. But that's between you and God. I think that He challenges us. He challenges all of us. Pardon me. I'm so sorry. He always gives us the ability to choose. He gives everybody an opportunity 24/7 with the opportunities to choose the new. Choose the new. And you're not always going to understand it. You're not ever going to understand God in His fullness and His ways and how He does things. But it does require us to choose faith and trust in coming into a new place if we've been praying for something new. And I think our tendencies are to become doubtful if things don't manifest when we think that they should manifest, or if they don't manifest the way that we think that they would manifest. And so then we get into wondering, am I on the right path? Am I doing things right? Am I hearing right? Those kinds of things. And this is where a lot of people in the body find themselves. But God, I can promise you, God will take you as far as you want to go, and He'll give you as much heaven as you're willing to manifest here in the earth if you're willing to trust Him. Which leads us right into what we're talking about. What is hindering that? What is witchcraft hitting front runners with this year? What is it hitting you with right off the bat? If you've been listening to the prophets and you've been taking notes and, you know, making sure you're tracking correctly as we start back into C1, you're going to find a lot of the prophets are saying that there's a lot of voodoo that's being released against frontrunners and intercessors and the entire body of Christ. Why do you think that is? It's obviously to hinder your growth, to hinder you from being able to step out, to grow, from growing and stepping into the blessings that God has promised that you would have. So voodoo's on the rise, which means intercessors are going to have to research to find out the tools that they use against you in order to combat it. which includes, if you're taking notes, hopefully you are, all types of rituals, ceremonies, voodoo, hoodoo, roots, potions, spells, incantations, red, white, and black magic. I'm telling you what to bind and what to take into the courts of heaven. Voodoo priests and priestesses, their words, their horses and chariots, all demonic beast. The red horse effect, soul snatching. This is all things that you can learn if you're listening to Earthquake Kelly as well. He talks about these things. What is a soul snatcher? A soul snatcher works with the red horse effect to take your life right before a big breakthrough. Are you getting hit with illness in this hour? Unbelievably, getting hit with things that you wouldn't normally get hit with in this season, that you haven't gotten hit with in the past. You need to be binding that and canceling those things out. 1 Corinthians 1:19. We need to be also canceling out all types of demonic horses, their job functions against you, early death assignments, freak accidents. All types of demonic tools. I am so sorry. All innocent blood sacrifices and the power behind that. The harm and effects against you that causes. Dove's blood. They use a lot of dove's blood. Voodoo dolls. They use voodoo dolls against you. And then all demonic beings on demonic sidewalks or highways used to attack you. With regard to all connections on your spiritual pathways. They try to connect the demonic highways with your holy highways to hinder your ability to move forward. You need to know about these things and bind these things, cancel out these things, disconnect the connections so you can continue moving forward. We used to not have this problem 30, 40, 50 years ago because not that many people were practicing witchcraft. But now that we do. We have a lot more people practicing this garbage, so it's being released into our atmospheres, which means you have to educate yourself in how to battle it. The biggest thing is, and I just learned this yesterday, do you know why the enemy uses innocent blood sacrifices? Excuse me, innocent blood sacrifices, do you know why he uses those? Because it's a fake life source. Jesus is our life source. Jesus was our sacrifice. An innocent blood sacrifice, whether it's animal or human, is a blasphemy to the Lord. It's a direct blasphemy and a rejection of Jesus as the living sacrifice. So you're going to have to cancel out all fake life sources trying to mimic the power that comes through the blood of Jesus for your life. And it tries to bring in a fake life source against you, your advancement, your blessings, your calling, your destiny, your vision, your mandate. These are fake life sources because the enemy knew that there's power in the blood. It's a life source. That's why the Bible tells us not to eat it, not to drink it, not to consume it. Okay, there's a reason for that because these witches and Satanists use it against Christians. And you need to also bind all the ways that they can connect their black magic through a fake life source, a blood sacrifice, to your life as a front runner, as a Christian. It's considered innocent shed blood. That's huge. If I don't tell you anything else today, that's the key for today. It hinders your growth and movement from coming forward, especially if you're a leader over a ministry. They do this all the time. So I'd really encourage you to definitely take note of that. If you need notes, I'll gladly send you my notes from today. You can email me at yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. That's yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. And I'll give you the notes and what to bind. But the enemy is upping the ante in this season. And I'm even going to go a step further in telling you too. Before they even get there, I say, why wait? Be proactive. I've been proactive for years as a frontrunner and intercessor, which has really accelerated my growth really, really fast. Not in an arrogant way, just in a grateful way. But I would tell you to bind Egyptian black magic or any type of black magic used from any culture, known or unknown. That's the next step, by the way. Voodoo is upping the ante, but the next step up, which is the worst one, is Egyptian black magic. It's what the pharaohs used and what their sorcerers and their magicians used. Remember Moses? When the sorcerers and the magicians came in front of Pharaoh and Moses and they laid down their staffs? That's what was working against them. This is what's working against you. But we're in a season where we have the opportunity to change. Even if you're stuck at a lower side of the mountain, you still, God's in his mercy. And actually, with the word that's been brought forth for 2021 into 2022, I'm surprised, but then not surprised because of God's goodness. He's just a good God like this. But Genesis 23, 1 through 24, 5 talks about seasons changing. It's talking about the sojourners, people that are just moving through. We know who we are. We know whose we are. We know we're not from this world. But we also know our authority and how we're called to take dominion over it. Hey, blessings, everybody. Good afternoon. You're not just called to show up and live your life and do your time and then leave. You're called to actually be an active participant in the world to manifest God's power while you're here. To also manifest heaven here on the earth to prove that he's real. Heaven's a real place. And you can have what you say. Thank you, Jesus. You want me to say that? Sure. 2 Samuel 23, 5. Let me tell you the best part about this scripture. I'm going to find it because I want you to know it. There it is. Let me find it. I want to make sure I've got that. There it is. 2 Samuel 23, 5 is the best scripture I've ever found. God just revealed it to me last week. It says, my dynasty is approved by God, for he has made a perpetual covenant with me, arranged in all of its particulars and secured. He always delivers me and brings all I desire to fruition. Everything. If you've got a pure heart, if you're operating in love, that's the only way that'll work for you. So 2 Samuel 23, 5, if you don't think God moves and keeps his promises that he won't bring it to fruition, that's your scripture for today. He's going to bring your heart's desires. If you seek the kingdom first into fruition, he says, seek me first and I'll give you all the desires of your heart. He's the one that places them there, and you'll find out by stepping into the faith process what's of God and what's not. You'll find out really, really quickly. And so this is part of the New Year's Eve word that God showed us, which would he stated would be a very, very good year for the obedient, but very, very difficult for the disobedient if they chose not to keep coming forward. This is why it's so imperative to keep growing in God and keep getting delivered and getting free. Deliverance allows you to keep climbing. It's a key to advancement. Amen. And I believe this year, we're already seeing God ready us for the new. Watching to see who will move out and into the new. Or will you get caught up in the fear of what you're going to see on the other side? Or what you're already seeing in the natural manifest? The enemy hates advancement. So you've got to prepare yourself emotionally that things are going to kick up around you in the natural to stop your movement. He wants you to be afraid. Every time you move, if I move forward, the enemy's going to attack me. No, he's not. Not if you don't let him. God's already giving you the tools as to how to stop him so that you can keep climbing. You can keep advancing. It's a key. You're either going to believe the Lord and you're going to step into who he says you are, or you're going to stay in your limitations of who you think you are. Only two choices. So last night, the Lord was talking to me, and he showed me that despite what I saw going on in the natural, I couldn't allow the natural to sway my ability and confidence in him to move me into my new. And I actually had a conversation with a friend, like I was talking a little bit about at the beginning, who had an opportunity. She's got a huge opportunity to move out from underneath the cycles of Jezebel, which these are the cycles. The Jezebelian cycles are what have 85% of the church stuck, believe it or not. That spirit has been unbelievably successful at stopping the growth of the body. The enemy does not want us taking dominion power. Because if you advance, that means that you're going to step into your place, seated beside Christ in heavenly places. He did not want to see us step into that place. Because the more people that step into that place, it means we're taking dominion. We're subduing the earth through Christ. So in this chapter, we're seeing Abraham. His season has come to a close. He was in a married season with Sarah. And she's passed away. So he's at a new season in his life where he has to come out of the old and into the new. Is that you? Not that you were married and you've lost a spouse, but are you at an old season, at the end of an old season, where you don't know what your next steps are, and you're not sure what direction to go in, and you've been challenged. God's given you some dreams. He's maybe given you some prophetic words. You've been successful at tracking with the prophets so far, and you're coming from faith to faith and glory to glory. But now you're kind of at a crossroads and you're not sure what direction to go in. You know what I tell people when they're at that place? When you're not sure what direction to go in? Psalms 37:23 should be your new best friend. It should be your best friend in this season anyway. Psalms 37:23. That God orders the footsteps of the righteous. The footsteps of a righteous man or woman are ordered by the Lord. So that you don't make any dumb mistakes. You don't let the devil waste your time. You don't let people waste your time. You can ask God to order evil people away from you. Order only godly people to you. Order plagues away from you. Sickness, death, early death assignments. Order evil away from you. Order godly things away from you. Order your footsteps. You can do it in business. You can do it in relationships. You can do it with your words. Order me into the new, God. Order my footsteps so I don't let my foot slip. Hold me to this pathway and hold my heart and mind in obedience and alignment with your will. Order my thinking, Lord. Order my eating, God. I'm giving you all kinds of kinds of revelation here. But we have to understand, if we want to cross over into the new, we have to be willing to change and be changed, which means some things have to die. Sometimes it includes old relationships. It includes old jobs. It includes old ways, for sure. Old patterns of thinking. All these things that people don't even think about. They don't think it matters. But if God is moving you into a new place, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm like sensing this thing in the spirit like I used to sense when I used to go to my grandmother's house. Yeah, you got to let go of the past. You can't get stuck there. But it was a spirit that I sensed there, which is a spirit of religion. Whenever I'd go into their house, there was a sense of familiarity there, and there was a sense of comfort in it. But I was always glad to get back home. I was always glad, and not that I didn't enjoy visiting with him. It was just a sense of stagnancy, in a sense. And that's what religion does to you, is it gets you stagnant. It gets you stuck in a familiar place where you think things are always going to stay the same. And then we get shocked when change comes because we don't know how to emotionally prepare for that. And believe it or not, God's always in control, people. He's always going to keep, life's going to happen. You can either choose to move with it or it will pass you by. Spiritual life happens. You can choose to move with the cloud or he will pass you by. And then you get stuck and you get left behind. Same with warfare. It's what he's doing. But Sarah, for Abraham, had a very special place in his heart. And so at this place, at this end of the season, he was feeling the pain of his loss because most people don't like giving up the familiar. Not that your spouse is familiar, hopefully not, but Abraham was used to his life and the way it had been with a spouse and having that person with him. Sometimes, thank you, Holy Spirit, sometimes when God changes our season and people choose not to change around us, whether it's in a church, whether it's in your relationship, whether you're, I have to say God doesn't want you to divorce them, don't divorce your spouses, but it makes it really, really hard to move forward when you're not moving on the same spiritual pages with everybody around you. We're all at different levels as Christians. And if we're trying our best to come up in him, We're hopefully continuing to move from faith to faith and glory to glory, but not everybody chooses to move forward with you. Not everybody likes change. And so sometimes you'll have people that are gung-ho and passionate for God, and they're hungry for God, and they're continually wanting more. And you'll have those who are kind of satisfied. They don't want to have to go through all the warfare they see you going through. And they watch you. Don't think they're not watching you. Some of them hate you because they see you moving so fast in the spirit. But when we choose to stay stuck, it's usually because other people have enticed you to stay there, like the crabs in the pot, where all the crabs are like, no, don't leave. No, it's safe here. Don't leave. When you're the one trying to get out because you know something's wrong with this pot of people. And so when you're choosing to be obedient, you've got to prepare yourself emotionally that God's going to shake your tree. He's going to release the dead fruit from the lower branches. He's going to give you new playmates and new playgrounds. And not everybody can go with you into the new. So when I am praying for something big in my life, I usually always am. That's just the way my faith has always worked. But I realize that not everybody's going to be happy for me. Not everybody's going to support me. And I start asking the Lord to guide my relationships. Lord, order my relationships. Order the people that are supposed to be here in this season to me. Order the other ones away from me. Psalms 37:23, it's your new favorite best friend. If you want out of the old and into the new. But when God gets ready to move us, we'll begin to notice some relationships changing. And just like Jesus, before he raised Lazarus from the dead, see, Jesus knew Lazarus was going to die. Abraham didn't know Sarah was going to die. But Jesus had to allow his emotions out in order to move beyond them. Okay, you've got to deal with your emotions. That's healthy. Because if you don't, those emotions will cloud your vision and ensnare you with fears of change. So that's a healthy thing. Deal with your fears. Deal with your humanness. But don't get stuck in being a sojourner. Continue through the land. Abraham had to realize that he was merely passing through the land, and now he had to ready himself to move to another new place. The new place he was called, or the new place he was called to, already belonged to him. But if Abraham allowed his eyes to get stuck on the natural, all he would see was a grave. Follow me here. When the gospel's vision would have allowed Abraham to see differently. When we stay focused on the things of the spirit, we see that any tomb the enemy tries to place in front of us will be emptied, just like God emptied Jesus's tomb with resurrection power. That's the power of staying focused on the things of the spirit. You can focus on the things in the natural and create a grave, or you can stay focused on the things in the spirit and allow God to empty these tombs and keep setting you free from faith to faith and glory to glory and keep moving you through right on out of the old and into the new. Every time. It's all a matter of focus and being able to keep our eyes on Christ wherever he's taking us, no matter how uncomfortable it makes your emotions. And your emotions are always going to be tested with regard to that. So is your trust. Do you trust him? Because if you do, you never need to fear death of anything. Ever. And I don't know about you, but for me, like when I grasp this concept as an intercessor, it's like I learned to hold people loosely for one, but for two, I've attained through him this perception, I guess. Maybe it's an attitude of you truly can do all things. You really, really can do anything through him as long as you keep your eye on the prize, which is him. You keep your eyes focused on him, on his spirit, on what he's saying, where he's telling you to go, what he's telling you to do, holding people loosely along the way. Because there are some relationships, I don't know if you're aware of this, some relationships are sent to you for a lifetime. Some relationships are sent to you for a season. But the few that are sent for a lifetime are a very, very closed or small circle of people. And I've got to get some water. Sorry about that. Because it tried to make me start hacking with allergies. But you have to be able to see the truth in that and not get so stuck so easily in the familiar. And people come in and out of our lives all the time. I've had people, friends from 25 years ago, and God will take them away in a season and bring them back in another season when they're at a higher level where they can deal with the changes that I've gone through or was going through, am still going through maybe. Maybe they're more ready in this new season to accept the new me or accept the place God was taking me and moving me to be. If people can't accept the new you and they try to lock you into where you were at 20, 30 years ago, they're the ones stuck, not you. God's shaking your tree. He's trying to remove all the dead fruit off your tree and remove these things, which would be developed had they been obedient. Are you being obedient this hour? Which brings us to faith, hope, and love, and the servant who obeys and develops huge faith. And this particular servant was one who had learned how to watch and pray to discern God's leading. Because of his faith, he had huge faith. And because he had kept on trusting God from faith to faith and glory to glory, God had rewarded him for merely choosing to believe. Is this you? This is key in this hour. Not too many people are choosing to follow God on through. They're afraid of being wrong. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The thing that's really, really tripping people up in this hour, and it's because of the times that we live in too. This is a challenge to everybody, I think, because we never want to be deceived because of the false prophets, the false apostles, false evangelists, teachers, and preachers being released on the scene, the Balaams. That's a biggie that's tripping people up. You want to know how to avoid them? Psalms 37:23, God, order them away from me. Order me to only the true prophets. Protect my heart. 100% effective 100% of the time. Amazing. So in this hour, though, there are going to be many demonic obstacles that are being moved out of the way for the obedient because they chose to trust first. They chose to trust first and come forward despite spiritual challenges. And the Lord said, how many of you are learning to stand in faith for the huge things right now? Going where no man has gone before. Because this is how you open up an exciting new life. And it's a place where we see God operate in ways we've never experienced before. In this hour, the Lord says there are so many in the church stuck in cycles and demonic realities created by Jezebelian vessels and the enemy's attempt at keeping them imprisoned. How is this? The demonic cursings and words that shouldn't have been uttered because those hearts refused to come higher into love. It's also why 85% of the body stuck at the lower levels of the mountain because demonic words that have been spoken over them from years in the past. You have to ask God what those words are. Those are usually what creates demonic realities, and break them off if you want to come higher. Out from underneath Jezebel. That's the main enemy for everybody in this hour. Jezebel and Ahab. These old places are called demonic cycles, sent to lock you into certain levels of growth and never let you move beyond. It's a strategy. Break them off. Because when we press beyond the mindsets of these demons, we move fast. Very, very fast. Because we're no longer controlled by our emotions and only faith leads us. Have you ever noticed that a Jezebelian vessel is locked into the flesh? Seriously, have you ever noticed that? People that are manipulative and controlling, they're easily triggered, they're easily angered, but everything is about the emotions. It's all about the flesh, being flesh-based, making sure you do things by the book with the spirit of religion, witchcraft. It's all earthbound. And that spirit never goes any higher. Do you see the strategy? Let's go further. Let's take it a step further. You want to know why people get bored, bitter, or frustrated in relationships and marriages and jobs? Where else do they get churches? Why they church hop? Why they prophet hop? Because they let their fears control their ability to try something new when God prompted them. They'd grown accustomed to their routines because routines give a false sense of security. They didn't want things to stay the same. They liked the church the way it used to be. That's the way mama did it and grandpa did it and the way my pastor 30 years ago used to do it. Why do you need to change everything? When God's the one who's in charge of our seasons and our times. But when we refuse to move with him into the new season, frustration and stagnancy or bitterness show up. Bitterness is bound to show up. You want to know why? Because a heart really wants to change. It's the head knowledge that gets in the way. The head intellectualism never changed anything. Okay? Change comes through revelation, which brings impartation. But when we refuse to move or we get locked into our fleshly fears of what if, coulda, woulda, shoulda, this is how believers get stuck at the lower levels because our finite brains attempt to understand God's moves and his ways. We're not ever going to understand God. He's just calling us to do two things, trust and believe. That's all. Which brings us to Matthew 8:1-17. When people start to see who you are, they see the anointing. They see huge faith. They see through the power and authority of Jesus. The heart knows the real deal. How will you know God's people? By his love. Which happened to Jesus when he came down the mountain. And he ran into several vessels. And they weren't, one of them was a believer, the other one wasn't a believer. But all of them, except for one, had faith. He ran into a man with leprosy who was immediately healed because he chose to believe. And this is what simple faith does. When you choose to believe God, when he gives you directives, you don't know how to get to the end result. You just know God told you something, so you're determined to have it, hopefully. And you step in and agree with God. And no matter, and that's a part of being an intercessor and a front runner too, is when God makes you a promise, God's a God that can't lie. He finishes what he starts. And when he starts you on a journey, that's because he's put it down into your spirit already. So the spirit bears witness with the spirit. You're like, yeah, that's for me. That's for me. But what happened in this situation was that Jesus had run into all kinds of people. He ran into some unbelievers, which is one that included a Roman officer who had faith, and he was telling Jesus about a family member who was sick at home. Then he ran into a Pharisee, not to mention the man with leprosy. And these are usually people who are stuck in their religion or power trips, yet thinking they're okay, but still seeking him in their curiosity or wanting to be entertained. And then he saw and heard these unbelievers' faith, and he was amazed as he turned to the crowd and said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be cast into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then Jesus turned to the Roman officer and said, go home. Your family member has been made well because you chose to believe. The Roman officer wasn't even a believer, but he had faith. He had more faith than the believers. Hey, good afternoon. He had more faith than the believers. And so these are simple life and death decisions that can make or break or walks. Our simple decisions to choose to believe God in the small things, which lead us to places others only dream about. And we chose to trust God and move forward into. And Jesus then goes and ministered to the believers, one of which was Peter's mother-in-law, who was healed of a fever and continued to bless those with faith. This is an hour. I guarantee you, we're talking about, I've told you at the beginning of the conversation, this is an hour where when Jesus said, this is going to be a year that's going to be phenomenal for people who chose to obey. But it's going to be a super, super difficult year for people who haven't. I believe he's allowing some of the difficulties to come forward to push them out of their emotions, to push them into obedience, because the only thing that's going to save you or save anybody in this hour is faith. It's their faith and trust in a Savior. He's the only one who can add a super to your natural to change things in your life. It's always been that way. It's always been part of the story. But if you're not part of the story, you can't share in his glory. Okay? So you've got to stay the task. You've got to stay on task. If he gave you a dream, if he gave you a promise, you got to choose to believe that he's a God that finishes what he starts. He never starts you down a road and doesn't finish the end game. You're the one who gets off task. So you've got to keep your eye on the prize so that he can get you there. It's part of learning to follow after him and to allow him to lead you by the Spirit as he unfolds a thing, unfolds a thing, unfolds a thing. And it may take you a year. It may take you 2 years to have that dream achieved. Didn't mean he changed his mind. It means you were in a process and you quit the process. But you're the one who put the timetable or the time limits on it about how long you thought it would take to achieve it. Which leads us to Psalms 9, 13 through 20. And it talks about God, those who suffer from those who hate them for their faith. And in God's mercy, he's still trying to bring everybody on board. He's still trying to bring everybody into huge faith. It's all about choosing to believe. It's simple. Faith is an act and the action is in the doing. But the devil hates vessels with huge faith. Have you ever noticed that your attacks have increased when you start believing for something or praying in something or stepping into agreement with God? Have you ever noticed that? Because that means the enemy knows that if you are successful through Christ in praying in a thing, intercessor, front runner, that means that other people are going to see the reality of Christ in your life, which means you're probably going to have a testimony. You've just created a test through the Lord in your life, which means the message is being given to the messenger. You're being taught how to do this thing to where you can teach other people how to do it as well, which means big faith can be created. The enemy hates it. He hates people like us. So other believers around you, why does it surprise you when they hate you, when you're successful in Christ? And it's usually because of their own shortcomings. You're a constant reminder to them of their own shortcomings or bad decisions when they could have had blessings yet chose to follow their feelings over faith. And you know, honestly, regret is a hard thing to live with. And it's one thing that plagues the heart that's been stuck in decisions of the past that should have been made towards heaven. You ever thought about that? But that's not your fault, Faith Walker. Sorry about that. I should have put him on the air. That's not your fault, Faith Walker. Your portion is walking out heaven here in the earth realm. Just like Jesus. Jesus was walking out his faith. And people knew who he was. They knew who he was by the Spirit. They recognized the anointing. Why do you think they congregated to him? They ran to him. He drew huge crowds. And they were serious about getting healed. They weren't there to be entertained. Not like today's society. But we have to choose to partake and participate in order to see the manifestation of the blessings. And in this hour, God's paying the faithful back for their faith in seasons where it looked like all had been lost. And just because mockers choose to make fun of your efforts, frontrunner, or they try to deem you least likely to succeed because of what they don't see, they did the same thing to Noah. Who else did they do that to? They made fun of several of the frontrunners. Several. David. They made fun of David. His own wife made fun of him because he chose to dance naked down a street knowing the God he served. But this is a season where those same mockers will become stagnant, caught up in their own pits that they tried to dig for hearts choosing to come forward. It's a season of justice where God is repaying debts, good and evil alike, because the wicked have now trapped themselves in their own snares. You can't curse something God's blessed. Good luck. You can't. Acts 5:39, if something is of God, you're not fighting me, you're fighting God. You're not fighting an individual that believes in the Lord that has a heart of love. You're fighting God himself. And God will ensnare you with your own words. Proverbs 1:30-32, you'll eat the fruit of your own lips. Because God's a God that won't be mocked. And you're not touching me. You're not touching believers. You're touching the Lord with your mouth. That's why God's saying, be careful who you put your mouth on. Be careful who you judge, lest you be judged. But it's the fate of all the nations who ignore God. And in this season, the faithful are saying, arise, O Lord. And let them know how human they are. When you're stuck in your humanness, it's one thing to be human. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's one thing to be human. But it's an entirely different thing to think we get away with things in this life that we think that God's just overlooking because judgment hasn't shown up yet. This is a season of judgment. It's a season of judgment. God said it. It's a season of manifestation. For good or for bad, dependent upon what you've chosen to plant. Have you planted evil? Have you planted righteousness? Have you repaid your enemies with love and goodness? Or have you returned evil for evil? You'll reap what you sow. That's why it's important to think about these things long term. You got to think long term when you're farming. What kind of harvest do you want? Which brings us to Proverbs 3:1-6 as we wrap up our conversation today. And it states, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Keep the commandment of love. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy or truth forsake thee. But bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's a purpose and following the leading of the Spirit and learning to trust God. Whether you see him or not, there's a reason why he has us do the things that we do. And it's all, I believe, to prove the proof that heaven's real and God is real. And not just to the world around you, but to you. To you, to let you know. He's on the job. He's working on it. He's got your best interest at heart. And he's going to finish what he told you he was going to do. If he told you he was going to give you a new job, if he told you he was going to bring you a spouse, if he told you he was going to give you a house, whatever, he's going to do it. All you got to do is follow through. I hope you're encouraged today. My name is Dr. Missy Hood. I do the 15-minute revs on Mondays and on Fridays. If you liked what you heard, consider subscribing. Hit the subscribe button in your upper right-hand corner if you're on YouTube. You can also, I can really shoot these people for continuing to call me during the 15-minute rev. Never fails. I ought to bring him on live. No. But anyway, if you like what you heard, subscribe. And you can also follow me on Rumble at MissyH123. We put the revs on there as well. But we love having you. You're always welcome to join us. We hope to rev you up for the week and then rev you up for the weekend. If you're looking for a church, consider emailing me at yeshuanavigator@gmail.com. We're here to deliver you, to train you up. Deliverance is the key for this season. I am so, gosh. Anyway, join me. But if I don't catch you the rest of the day, I hope you have a blessed Monday. And then if not, I'll catch you on Friday on the 15-Minute Rev. Have a blessed afternoon, guys. Bye-bye.